What's up, everybody? Thanks for listening to The Bold Take, which is brought to you by our guy, Boz Executive Transportation, our original sponsor, who has been with us from the beginning. We love Boz, and he is probably the best driver on earth and definitely the best chauffeur in Jacksonville. You've seen him featured on AEW. He's a complete fucking badass. You can ride in those same cars you've seen on those pay-per-views if you just call our man at 904-887-0763 or hit him up on Twitter. It's at JaxBoz, J-A-X-B-O-Z. And he'll chauffeur you to a wedding, chauffeur you to a fancy night out, chauffeur you to the airport, chauffeur you to the next AEW event. Hit the man up, 904-887-0763. For the best chauffeured service in town at reasonable prices, Jax Boz Executive Transportation.
Hey, Eric, take that goddamn roll tie shirt off.
Love you guys, Duval County.
Let's go.
What's up, people? Welcome to The Bold Take. It's your boy Solly. I'm joined by Cap at a 45 degree angle on his phone. He's not straight on his phone. Had some video issues on the computer. But we got a nice angle out of it. He looks like a professional. He's wearing a champagne and cookie shirt because he frankly just hasn't been able to wear it in a calendar year. So I think it's just like the cleanest shirt he's had. Like he hasn't messed it up at all. So he's
like everything. Yeah. Well, like everything that the fellas over at DTWD Originals makes, it's very comfy.
He's talking about himself right now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just a little quick plug for the cause, but
I've been up.
Yeah. No, shout out Wiggle Man. You're missed. You're loved.
God.
Yeah, I know. So, no, I just was like, all right, what shirt am I going to break out? You know, how do you, now that we're doing video, right, you got to get your fit ready, whether it's a hat or something, right? I'm a man of many shirts, many hats. I don't know what that looks like, a Gamecock. Go Gamecocks.
Yeah, South Carolina.
This guy, he's violating Alabama and a Gamecock hat. You hate to see it. No, but I was just kind of going through the repertoire of shirts.
Are you talking about the team that's got it's undefeated and undrawn so far this year?
Yeah, Alabama. What else is new? Undefeated. Can we get back to champagne and cookies, please? Anyway. Yeah, I saw the shirt and I was like, hey, we finally ended the charade. We named a starting quarterback. This may be the only win I get for a while. So might as well break out the champagne and cookies shirt.
Here's Urban Meyer. Yeah, we're going to name Trevor the starter week one. Cowboys. What the fuck?
Yeah, that shit was kind of depressing.
Yeah. Like, okay, I'm sorry that you got Trevor Lawrence, dude. Like,
yeah.
Are you going to be okay?
Yeah. Could you imagine? Like, I mean, Doug Marrone, if he saw that, would be like, fuck you, buddy.
Doug Marrone would walk out for the press conference in like a G-string, like a banana hammock, and that's it. He'd be like.
All last season, like, I mean, just juxtapose that, right? Like that press conference with the ones where Marrone was going in and you know, like week 5 through 14 last year was like, yeah, well, we're gonna give Luton a chance.
Mike Glennon gives us the best chance to win.
Yeah, look, we're really every week we're evaluating this and we're making decisions on who we think will give us the best chance to win. And this week we flipped a coin. It's Mike Glennon. You know, like seriously, compare that to like. Poor Urban had to walk in there today and say, we're naming the number one overall pick. One of the main reasons why I took this job.
The only reason I'm not on a golf course right now
Yeah. Okay, guys. Okay, you got me. We're naming them. Are you happy now? Is everyone happy? I'm not happy. Are you happy?
Gene Fournette's in the back like, I knew it!
Yeah. Gene firing off the tweets. I don't know what everybody was so worried about. I never really got all the hype and the hoopla. Shut the fuck up, Gene.
Because you don't read anything, dude.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's funny, but I saw immediately Shipley answered somebody because Sally, you quote tweeted it, but somebody like under the video when Shipley tweeted it out, somebody responded and said something along the lines of like, wow, he seems really, really excited. That's got me fired up or something. And Shipley answered, he's like, I wouldn't read too much into it. Like that's like 50% of the time, that's kind of how he acts. And I'm trying to think back of all the press conferences I've watched of him since he got here. And I don't recall him really looking that solemn, you know?
He's not like a rah-rah, like excitable type of dude, but he's not like, I mean, he was literally like looking at his feet like he had just lost somebody close to him. Maybe he did. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. That's going around. That shit's happening for sure. I guess we can't discount that. But Dilly, you had some interesting tweets today about all that along the lines of, you know, kind of how this may have been the first day inside the facility yesterday. Today on the way back on Monday night, overnight, like that maybe people, it wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, right? Like, I don't know. Can you expand upon that? Like what you mean by that?
Yeah. I just think, well, not really we kind of talked about it. Like this is what we were told and we kind of figured out what we thought about it. I don't think that it was in terms of anything close to, you know, we're already out on the coaches. We're already out on this whole project. Like, it's over already. Like, just, like who cares? I just think that, I mean, that you have a lot of hype coming into preseason. And they've played two games and they look terrible. Like, of the players who matter, they look terrible. So the mood today wasn't, or yesterday, I guess, wasn't all, you know, sunshine and rainbows. There was a little bit different, like, from the way I understood it, it was more of like it's a put up or shut up kind of time. It's like, all right, we got to start doing this shit because obviously like what we were doing isn't working, but we still think we're good enough to get shit done.
Right.
So when people are saying like, should we be concerned about Urban Meyer already? Should we already just, you know, look on to the next thing? Is he completely in over his head? I think in some aspects, yeah, he's really confused. Like when it comes to, I think building the roster is like blowing his brain up. He's used to having 110 guys and like 85 of them get to dress out and come to the games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If one person goes down and he's a, you know, key impact player, well, I've probably got like a 5-star dude who's a freshman who's like supposed to be sick anyway. And darn, he's got to play sooner and you're just like reloading. Yeah. And now he's like learning. Not only is there like a roster that has to be built, but a lot of the guys that they brought in on offense, if they have any kind of big play, you know, ability, they're the older guys. Like Tavon Austin has come in and looked like he should have been on the team already. You know what I mean? Someone like that. Or, and with ETN going out, I think it's important to address they need speed. And when you look at Dorsett, he hasn't done anything impressive. Treadwell's not really quick. So when it comes to like building the roster, he has to make some crazy decisions and like what he chooses, that's what he's stuck with. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I mean, sure, we're going to have the like number one waiver wire slot for a couple weeks. So like maybe the bottom of the roster shuffles, but that doesn't
ain't nobody down there saving you.
No.
Right. So essentially what has to happen for Urban is the offensive line needs to come back. If he's successful this year, the offensive line players, they need to come back and they need to play really good. Yeah. And if they play really good, everything is going to be fine.
Yeah.
Well, so I just think overall the atmosphere in the locker room changed because it's like, I think they do believe in their ability, especially the players. The vibe is still good with the players. Like the culture change that everyone's talked about, it's still there. It's not like, oh fuck, we're in Jacksonville. This sucks.
That's us. But that's our mentality. They don't know nothing about that.
Right. In terms of like what with Urban, like just the vibe with Urban or the vibe with the players. The players are good. And I think Urban, like I said, right now he knows too. And they got to do it right. Or nothing changes in Jacksonville and we're a shit show again. And he knows that. And knowing Urban and like have to win, like 10-2 is like a terrible season in college to like, hey, like you said earlier before we started recording, Jackson came on and said, you know, 6 or 7 wins and you called it aggressive. He knows, he feels the pressure differently, I think.
Yeah, I guess. I think the frustrating thing with all this is it's nothing that we can control, right, as fans, but the narrative that you see out there as the team looks like they're struggling a little bit in the first 2 weeks of preseason or the first 2 preseason games, the narrative that is just constantly out there is, you know, how long is Urban going to last? He's not used to losing. He's going to lose more this year than he did in his entire life and his grandfather's life and his father's life. Like, I mean, it's just over and over and over again.
What week is he going to fake a heart attack?
Yeah. Every big dick, you know, media member that's been here, they've had some 4 or 5 paragraphs in the article that they wrote about how Urban's going to have to get, you know, it's an interesting experiment. It's just over and over and over again. It's like, I get that. And that is, I think, in the back of all of our minds, but at the same time, that's not my number one concern at the moment.
He's going to learn real quick when they're like 0-2, right? I mean,
my concern is not Urban's health. I mean, because I would hope that he's, you know, yeah, that's something that he has in check and he's comfortable with, right? So that's not my concern in the you know, immediacy or in the long term. My concern is not, you know, how he adapts to losing or if he does or any of that. Those are not my concerns. My concern is that the team doesn't look very prepared at all in either of those games. That's my concern. Mm-hmm. My concern is that, you know, I don't have a great amount of confidence in the people that he brought in to be the ones who are supposed to be leading from a professional level, right? Because he's coming in and what, you know, my confidence in Urban is CEO, build a culture, find the right people, get the right tools, the right resources in place. I think that's what Urban's good at. All along, great. I was never really fired up about Daryl Bevel or Brian Schottenheimer. Like, that's not, you know, Joe Cullen to a degree excites me mainly because of the defense that he's bringing, right? And more so than even him. So that's my concern. Like, I tweeted that out. I said, you know, it was a team that looks like they haven't been preparing to play other good teams. And I think vibes are good, competition is good, but this isn't college, right? College, like to your point, Dylan, where you got 85 guys, 100 guys, and it's all about making each one of them better. Well, you know what, dude? This is the NFL. Like, realistically, your studs aren't going to be pushed by the bottom of the roster guys. They know it. The bottom of the roster guys know it. The fans know it. Everybody knows it. So I get from a, you know, a mental perspective, but that was the frustration with the whole, you know, this faux QB competition. And when you go out and you see guys, you know, Trevor not being on the same page as some of his key weapons, and we're a couple of weeks away. You know, I mean, what has Trevor got? He's got 30 snaps maybe at most before he plays a real regular season game now.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I don't know. That's my thing. And if that's a growing pain, that's a growing pain. If he's learning right now and you know, I think if you ask him 6 months from now, if he would have maybe done it a little differently, would have named him starter sooner, you know, maybe he would. And maybe that was part of the melancholy around it today. Maybe he was realizing that, that the gig was up. But I don't know. I can't get past the fact that, you know, maybe this is part of being a Jaguar fan, right? And just kind of looking at the glass half empty. And I'm sure I'm guilty of that in some regard, but I have this feeling like looking at it that I don't have confidence in Daryl. I don't have that much confidence in Daryl Bevel from a scheme perspective, from being able to, out scheme, being a great play caller, any of those things. I don't have tremendous confidence in him. So when I see these types of showings, knowing full well that they're keeping it pretty vanilla, but the guys just don't look prepared, man. That's the part that makes me say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't know what to expect.
They don't look like they're ready to play a football game. Like, that's bottom line.
No, they look like a bunch of guys who have gained some confidence beating up on each other. And then when they got out there and they played against a real team, you know,
they might know how to practice football, but they don't know how, they're not playing football games.
Dog, it looked like the best 2A, right, high school team who then went and played a 6A team and was like, whoa,
play a different sport than we do.
Yeah, this is a different, what it looked like. And I don't get me wrong. New Orleans has a good roster.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got a good roster. They're really, really well coached.
On both sides of the ball. People don't give Dennis Allen that much credit, but like that defense is sick. Bro, hey, they were sick until like the threes and fours came in.
And you can say the same about Cleveland. Like, they're a pretty solid team, pretty well coached team too. So we have played two, even if we were playing backups, that's fine. You know, most team, good team backups should be competing with our starters right now. Like, we went 1-15 last year. Yeah. What'd we change from that? Like,
I think
a decent free agent class, kind of, and Trevor Lawrence, who we won't even fucking play or give reps to.
But that's the issue, the give reps. But back to you real quick, Cap, that's kind of what I was talking about. Like, I think the pressure is on Urban because if he didn't get it right, he didn't get it right. You know what I mean? There's no going back on it. He can't switch it up. He can't try other elite talent out to, like, you know, kind of cover up some schematic issues. And he knows, like, it's, like I said, it's put up or shut up for him. And when you hear, like, when I've tweeted about it, like, where it's kind of cagey inside, it's on the – it's not the players. It's not in the locker room. It's on the other side. I mean, apparently the offensive meeting – I don't know if it was today or yesterday. Thought I heard about it today, though – was over 3 hours long. And that doesn't seem that crazy, but when you hear in comparison that the defensive side, like, going over the game, reviewing and stuff, was just over 30 minutes long, then, like, clearly there's an issue on one side of the room. Like, he feels okay about stuff, and I think overall, like, if you look at the defense, the run defense looks 100 times better than it ever used to be. They'll figure it out on the back end. I don't think we've seen the corners that are going to start on week one, so I don't think he's worried about that. The offense looks terrible, like you were saying with Daryl Bevel. It is genuinely terrible. Trevor Lawrence is playing in this third preseason game because they haven't scored any points. And that was, like, Urban's big, like, line from the press conference today. Like, let's go, like, score some damn points.
Yeah.
He knows. Like, I'm personally, we'll get into it later, I'm still, like, looking positive towards the season. But there's definitely, like, room for concern. And that's where I think the tension's coming from.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's understandable. I mean, I don't know how, if you're a perfectionist like Urban Meyer, right? And you watch, and take a step back from that even. If you're that perfectionist, but you're also that person who, all we've heard, and I buy into this shit because just, on a personal level or when I'm coaching youth sports or whatever it is, not to compare any of that shit to what he's doing, obviously, but like, I'm a big compete person, right? Like, I talk to my son and the kids I coach all the time. It's like, look, you don't know where, at the end of the day, you never know where you're going to fall, right? You don't necessarily know how the game's going to end up. But if you just go compete, right? When you're competing constantly, you're getting better. But I don't see it. I see a team that believes that and that's practicing that all week. And then they get to the game and they look like freaking deer in headlights. And so it's like, you can't compete if you're not prepared, and they don't look prepared from a technical standpoint, whether it's homeboy Tyson Campbell not being able to find the football, whether it's just terrible footwork. I mean, maybe George Warhop's just got to go, bro. I mean, but it's terrible footwork. Is there an offensive lineman since he's been here that's gotten better, like really better? I don't know.
Shatley's probably been a better overall player than we all thought as a steady Eddie.
Yeah.
But I don't think anything else in that.
It's kind of like Will that Richardson, before.
Will Richardson's footwork, Cap, is awful. There's no reason he should be on the team. He is terrible. He played towards the end of the game, and he was getting destroyed, and it's all from footwork. It's so bad.
But every one of them, bro.
On Twitter. Oh, no, that's what I'm saying. But he's like a middle round pick, like third round pick or whatever we took him at. He's awful.
No one's been developed.
And we're what, 2 or 3 years in? Right. And that's the coach we kept from the offense, which is like, what?
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks on that. And the whole offensive side of the ball, I don't have much faith, which is frustrating because you got this young rocket armed QB, right? The specimen that you want, you would hope we would surround him with the best of the best that we could possibly get. I don't know. That's But the whole compete thing for me, great. But put them in a place where they can go compete against other teams, and I haven't seen that yet. And right. now maybe the regular season will be totally different. Maybe they'll come out there and instead of just running super basic freaking offensive plays, maybe they're going to have a lot more motion. They're going to have a lot more things schemed up to, you know, from a route perspective to get guys open. So you're not relying on dudes trying to win one-on-one all the time. Maybe that's in the cards and they're just not showing it at all. But
well, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't Bevel like a big, you know, obviously they had the run game and wasn't he a big play action and like kind of a throw a bomb guy, right? Like they want to chuck it and try to get deep. Problem is we don't really have any guys with that kind of speed.
It's hard to say, bro, because we don't know how much influence Urban has on the actual offense that they're building.
Right.
And Urban wasn't, you know, he was a get the ball out quick. He was a more, you know, he's always been
so far. It doesn't seem like he has any based on what they've done. Right.
Well, but Urban was, you know, there's motion, you're getting the ball quick to the flats, lateral, you know, a lot right. of a lateral yeah. passing game.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. It's been painful, man. Like it's been downright painful to watch these fucking guys play.
And I mean, we look like we're trying to run a play action offense when we can't block anybody. You know, whether that's because of people that are out or not, and we don't have anybody that can get deep with the speed. So, like, the play action doesn't work, and then we can't bust the top off.
Well, there's no – listen, it's like I refuse to believe that anything we've seen could be any semblance of the offense that they want to run because
so we were going to talk about Trevor Lawrence, like, being in the starter or whatever first, but this is fun. Let's just talk about it. Like, what you guys are saying, like, what could happen. I think that we're going to be completely fine on offense in the sense of, like, Trevor's going to play really well. He's going to have his rookie moments. But overall, we're going to be happy with how he plays this year. And I think now that we're not doing this stupid split the reps when one quarterback has the ability to attack the ball downfield and the other guy, like, has to dink and dunk, they don't have to, like, cross the scheme in the game plan anymore. So now not only is Trevor getting more reps, now we're working on more, like, specific what plays for what we have. And I think another big problem is like Chark being out. Prisco is saying it. We can't stretch the ball, but he's going to come back. And if he can stay healthy just to stretch a defense out, Visca becomes 100 times more valuable when he's got room to run across the middle of the field.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think having the problems now is a good thing. I think, like, how brutal would it be if we looked really good in preseason and then we went and played Houston? And as soon as someone game plans against us, we look like shit.
Yeah.
So for right now, I think because of what I think Trevor Lawrence is, I'm still positive on like what we could be. That whole game is completely different if just Cam Robinson plays.
Right.
Yeah. Walker Little was terrible. Sure. You can't – I don't – like a lot of – so the Jaguars lined up with four receiver sets, and there was like two stacks left and right. They did it a bunch of times. That shit never works. And it's always a run play. And it always goes for like 2 or 3 yards. And it only works in college when fucking Ohio State's playing like Illinois because they got a guy who can run way faster and get outside. When it's James Robinson against safeties who have crashed down into the box because they know it's a run play because it's always a run play. That shit doesn't work. You can't out-athlete anyone in the NFL. So like that shit's got to stop. Yep. But if we're noticing that now, and then we can actually have people who are spending a week on the game plan and not a couple of days because we don't even know who's playing and it's preseason, so we can't even show our whole offense. I'm confident enough in Darrell Bevell from what he did when he was running the Lions. Like when he was under Patricia, the offense stunk. But as soon as he went back to him being the interim coach, he looked more like Seattle's offense. We have the tools to play like that. Trevor Lawrence isn't going to be Russell Wilson. That's crazy. Russell Wilson's incredible. Trevor Lawrence is going to have a good season, and I think that we're going to have fun enough because if you can keep Chark healthy, the field, everything opens up. We can run the ball better. Losing ETN sucks, but at the end of the day, that was a luxury pick. They took a running back who's really fast and can catch the ball and like make people miss.
Yeah.
When they have, as we see, a whole bunch of other holes. But I still think it's better if we can get one of Linder and Norwell healthy, Cam plays like a normal amount that he plays, and if they can just get Walker Little to use his hands, everything's way different. But I feel like the offensive line was so bad this other game, or this past game, there was no way possible to actually be able to like understand what we were trying to do on offense.
Nah, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, that, and all of those things are probably the rational way to look at it. I'll go a little bit in the
I'm trying it out. I know.
I respect that.
The other day when I was during the game, when I was just calling them just garbage, and you told me you couldn't handle it, and I needed to
I can't handle that. It's like, look, it's like reading Sully's timeline. I told you all that earlier. Like, I can't handle that shit. This is not a
Sully.
Like, no, this is not a, it's not a situation like that. So for me, here's where I'm at with it. I would feel a lot better about everything you just said. And I can't necessarily disagree on paper with what you just said. In reality,
that's my whole argument.
I understand your argument. I understand all those points, and I hope like hell that you're right. With that said, I keep coming back to a couple things. One, unfortunately, all that I remember and know at this point is just this team, like, basically not being able to get out of their way. And until they get, until they learn to get out of their own way, it's like Alfie has always said, right? The Jaguars are bad until they're not bad. It's hard for me to believe that anything good or great is going to happen anytime soon. That's a little bit irrational, but it's how I feel. With that said,
which is understandable,
but I would feel, I think if Urban were standing on the sidelines during the game and he looked like a dude who was still confident, I would have a little bit more confidence in them being able to kind of come out and have a, you know, a competitive product and a competitive plan. If he walked up to that podium today and was excited and confident still, I would feel a little bit better about it. But the showing and the way that they looked unprepared, plus his body language and how he's kind of responded to all this stuff, that doesn't give me great confidence. And when you couple that with it's the Jaguars, it's really hard. Like, I'll tell you all this right now. I don't know if we're going to get into any kind of predictions or anything like that. We have plenty of time for like a full regular season prediction, but I put that poll out there. Like, if you had to bet $1,000 on the Jags Texans game week one, which side would you take? Like, if you had to bet $1,000 and you don't want to lose your $1,000 and it was just a straight up bet, whoever wins, no point spread, no anything. Winner, take.
This episode of The Bold Take is brought to you by A1 Sliders, sliding glass door and window repair. I like to think of my sliding glass door on the back of my house as like an airplane, right? It needs to land perfectly and smoothly in the little groove, aka the runway, for proper functionality. If yours isn't, you need to head over to a1sliders.com or give them a call 386-538-6835 for a free estimate of how to get your airplane landing perfectly on your runway. Again, a1sliders.com, 386-538-6835. Give them a call and get that airplane landing smoothly right on that runway. Now back to the bold take.
Well, I have a really, you know, and people, this was the day after the game, so obviously frustrations were pretty high. I think it was still like 51 or 52% of people said they would bet on the Jags, which is kind of a low amount compared to what it probably was a month or two ago. With that said, I never really actually put my take out there. I just kind of put the poll out there. And for me, I'd have a hard time betting on the Jaguars in any game this season. Like even that game. And I know what you're going to say. Their roster is worse than ours. They're terrible. They're worse than us.
They're trying to lose.
Until Urban Meyer puts a product on that field. Yeah. They're going for the number one pick. They're tanking. Until Urban Meyer puts a product on that field, and I see it, and I see the vision starting to come together a little bit, I would not bet my hard-earned money on the Jacksonville Jaguars in any game.
So, Cap, are you going to do what I did last year and bet against the Jags every week?
No, I don't bet. Dude, I'm not a fucking degenerate, Solly. I don't bet. I don't bet on my team's games. I don't really gamble all that much in general. So no, I'm not going to go for the "I win either way" strategy like you did last year.
Can I hit you?
Hey, can I hit? So I thought about that too, with the whole body language thing.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to see how he looks on the sideline in week three, because in college, the upper echelon coaches freak the fuck out, and it's totally acceptable and totally like, holy shit, look what he did. You know what I mean? So now Urban has to learn, like, hey, they don't do that shit up here. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they get pissed and stuff, but like, well, dude, he was like throwing a fit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he just looked upset, like, you know, droopy shoulders, like just obviously disgusted. And like you said, it looks terrible. But when he's like used to doing that, and that's just like normal sideline shit, I don't think to him it really means as much as what it looks like.
He's not used to doing but that because he's used to being up 41-7.
Yeah, but
he doesn't even know how to stand on the sidelines and take it.
And that's fine. But lead, like, if you're a leader and you have a plan, yeah. I'm not trying to pretend like I've got a doctorate in leadership compared to Urban Meyer, but like, just in my opinion, if you're a leader and you are setting the tone for the program you're trying to build, right? And sometimes I hate when people use the term program in the NFL because it sounds so college-y.
Especially when you're talking about Urban Meyer.
But in reality,
so we're trying to get away from.
Yeah, but like, he's trying to build a culture, right? He's trying to build a team, and I think that you got to go. No matter what's going on in those two games, you got to be unflappable, bro. Like, you have to be on that sideline knowing that the team's not going to do very well. One, you know, there's a good chance that they're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, and that it's the preseason.
What?
And that is the preseason.
God
and,
damn it. What are we even doing here then?
So that's the point for me that's just kind of frustrating. And it's not about, oh, is he going to quit? Oh, is he, you know, can he hack it? Is this something that he's going to be able to do? It's more along the lines of just like, come on, bro, get your shit together. Be a leader here. Like, you know, I'd like to see a little bit more of that, like, unwavering confidence in the plan and what they're trying to do.
Yeah. But now, do you think that because we have a starting quarterback named and he can, like, get behind someone and actually, like, project him publicly, so that's going to help the team and maybe like get things in gear, just kind of get everything back to where it needs to be. Like, he's right, like, we're going to be totally fine. Like, we just need to kind of, like I said, they just got to fucking figure it out. And that seems like the mood has like kind of changed that way after realizing, like, hey man, like, we've been terrible. At least it's not the same, so maybe that's why I'm thinking, like, hey, it could be good still, because they're like adjusting on the go.
Dude, when you make a move like drafting Trevor Lawrence and hiring Urban Meyer, like, those two guys are setting the tone for the whole franchise, period. Like, we had head coaches before and quarterbacks before that weren't setting the tone for the whole franchise, right? Like, when you're saying that this is a competition, the whole team is like, okay, we're not really doing this yet. You know what I'm saying? I was thinking this the whole week last week. Like, as soon as they say, like, okay, this is our guy, let's ride, that changes what every offense and defense changes what everybody's thinking and doing.
Yeah, and I just don't know how Urban Meyer can sit here, but how can Urban like put these hashtags of own it and like plus two mentality, and then you keep trotting out the quarterback who looks like
that's why we were bitching last week,
quarterback on the team.
Well, he's a warrior. I mean, it's clear he's got a warrior mentality.
Street fighter.
He's a warrior. No, okay, great. Like, everything you just said sounds good, and it's possibly true, and maybe this is a catalyst, both for Urban and his energy as well as the rest of the roster. But like, you lose me a little bit when you start saying it could be a catalyst for Urban, because he's the motherfucker who put himself in this position.
No.
Right? I don't think it's a catalyst for him. I don't know what to fucking think about him. I think it's a catalyst for the rest of the team.
Yeah, totally. I don't think about for Urban. I'm talking about just for the team. Like in terms of like having the CEO, you're just like, oh shit, we got our quarterback, we got the head coach. Like they're gonna
Last week he was kind of fucking around, and all the fans were starting to get tired of it, right? Don't you think the players were tired of it too? So now,
I think so to a degree, yeah. I mean,
yeah. So now that he's done it, then it's like, okay, the heat's off a little bit, like.
Right. That's all I mean. I don't mean nothing about like whatever.
As far as coaching ability and all that in the NFL, like we talked about before, I'm still not confident. I'm like you. Whatever, man. I don't know. I don't believe nothing.
Well, I guess to switch it up, I hate to be completely negative. I'm just frustrated and feeling a little down on things. Obviously, I think that's coming through. But to speak to a positive in that nature is. I really like the way Trevor's responded to all of it. Publicly, right, in his comments, in his demeanor, whether it be from play to play, whether it be post game talking, I like it. I like some of the stuff that I'm seeing from him on some of the cut ups that some folks are doing, and seeing his ability to diagnose plays. Let's be real, man. So much of the game is played before the snap, right? Before the snap, before the ball even leaves the quarterback's hands. And that's not something we've been great at really maybe ever here. I mean, Byron was pretty good at it. For all his other flaws, Byron was pretty good pre-snap. And that's the stuff hearing from the Brandon Linders of the world. And, some of these other commentators who are going back and watching the tape and seeing his decision-making process, but hearing a Brandon Linder say, dude, the guy is incredible. Like his what he already knows and what he's thinking and what he's seeing at his age, at this stage already in his career, like it's phenomenal. Hearing that stuff coupled with just how he's kind of unflappable. I'd like to see a little more Urban like him. You know what I mean? Like in this situation, just be like confident, right? Like you're fucking Urban Meyer, bro. You're Urban Meyer. Yeah. And here's the thing too with Urban shit. Everybody on that roster, final roster and everybody after, what have all of them said? They're bought in, bro. And they, from the moment he was hired, they say, oh, we're glad he's here, dude. That guy's a winner. He wins wherever he goes. He's a winner. And you start showing that kind of negative attitude on the sidelines and sulking your shoulders and shit like that has an effect, especially on a team that's young, that's impressionable in the culture that you're trying to build, in a team that's probably going to struggle possibly a lot or at times during the season. That's that. So I guess in some regards, I just shat all over my complaint that I started with all these assholes that are writing stories about Will Urban be able to handle losing? Because maybe that is a bigger factor. Maybe I just haven't thought about it from that perspective. I don't know.
And that was my whole thing coming forward. Like the pressure is on for Urban right now. Got to get it right, at least to a standard that says, "Hey, we had a successful year with the young team." But
I guess I don't know. I'd rather see him, dude. I'd rather see him fake it till he makes it. Even like I'd rather see him.
I don't think cool he has and the say I'm not. To.
Well, but I feel you, but I'm saying like maybe that wasn't the fake until he makes it isn't necessarily what I'm getting at. What I'm getting at is I almost want him to walk out there and not give a single fuck what happens this season other than Trevor Lawrence getting better. Like seriously, like knowing for that sure. He's part of a 2-3-4-5 year plan rather than this year. He does it to me. And you get to a certain point as a coach and a successful individual in general, obviously you have an ego. And you want to be able to come out and say, look, I took this team from a shitty team and we're a young team and we're progressing. We're showing progress. We're showing promise. But at the same fucking time, I mean, I go back to the Cowboys, right? Like Troy Aikman's first year, like, keep confidence in your plan. Stay unflappably confident in what you're building. Like that's it, for me, that's the thing. And so just kind of some of those moments in the last week or two of seeing him so frustrated has,
showing that type of emotion in a preseason game is kind of like,
Hey, look, I love a guy. I love a guy who doesn't want to lose, bro. And if sure. you compete, you don't want to lose. I get that.
Right.
But coach them up, right? But I mean, a preseason game, at the end of the day, whether you win or lose is determined by the second, third, fourth, fifth string guys. So be out there and like be fucking coaching those guys up.
I
do legitimately think that that's why he was so butthurt, was because the offense one, the starting group was awful. And so that's my thing too. We didn't talk about it. Trevor playing in this game, and you said how he responded not only in the interviews and on the field. When he kind of realized, oh shit, I'm going to be running the whole rest of the game that I play, like they're going to be in on my ass, he started to play much better. He grew into the game, which was incredible. I thought that was like the coolest thing to see. Like shit was going sideways, but as his time on the field went on, it got better and better. And like it was slowing down for him, even though the offensive line still couldn't block at all and we still couldn't run the football.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really excited, because it's going to go right and they're going to be sick sometimes. I fully believe they're going to have big, big offensive like weeks sometimes.
I hope so. I hope you're right, man. And I'll be walking around with the fucking largest erection in the whole section. But
erection in the section.
You like that? Boom.
Hey, yeah, dude, that's good.
somebody write that down. I might make a shirt. I might make a shirt.
I'm going to tweet it right now. That's a good one, dude. Erection in the – that's it. Just no context. Erection in the section.
Love it.
From the podcast, of course.
Perfect. live tweeting during the podcast, ladies and gentlemen. You only get that here. I guess I don't disagree with anything you just said. For me, though, what was any – like – did Urban really go into that game, or Daryl Bevel or anyone else, did they really go into that game against that Saints defense and that defensive front and think that Tyler Shatley, Ben Barth, and Runner Big were going to just go out there and be really good? Like, did we think that? Because there were a few play calls where it looked like we thought they might be, you know, doing something.
Let's run behind those guys.
Hey, that is concerning, like having those guys out there and being like, oh, whatever, we're going to just like. But I don't know if it's the regular offense, so I just don't know. But I feel you. Like, I can completely agree with what you're saying. Like, that's just funny as hell to think about.
I mean, how on earth you even wanted to run to the left side? When why you got Cam and Taylor side? Over here. Yeah, I know. Like,
this is what it's going to be like when Cam Robinson is run blocking. Oh, wait.
Hey, but no, seriously. Anyway. If the first team offense looks how they've looked in preseason game three against the Cowboys, when we know Trevor Lawrence is starting, I don't care who's starting on the offensive line. If we look bad, every positive thing I've been saying for the last 45 minutes, turn your garbage disposal on and don't even turn the sink on. Just should throw it in there, fry it all up. Because
why on the third game? Why, like, yeah, I have to understand where you're coming at with that.
Because we're putting our first team offense out there. We're going to put almost the same team we just played with, probably Cam, if he's healthy, out there. And the Cowboys aren't. The Cowboys are playing in their third game tonight. That's their fourth game. They're going to play all their scrubs. And if we can't look decent against a team that's starting maybe like high end, or you know, high end threes, low end twos, because they're just trying to get through their extra preseason game because they played in the first one. If they don't look competent against them, forget about it. And that's where I'm at. As soon as he said he's going to start week one and he's going to start against the Cowboys, I was like, all right, you're putting all your eggs in one basket, because the Cowboys are going to be playing scrubs.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I would like to see them come out and dominate. I don't know that I would bet on it. but it would make all of us feel a lot better. It'd make me feel a lot better flying all the way to freaking Houston in week one. I mean, I just I don't know, man. If we are in that stadium playing against the Deshaun Watson, you know, and everybody else that they've lost, less Texans, and we somehow
against
lose
David
that game.
Coley.
Yeah, if we somehow lose that game, I there may not be any bringing Cap back. I don't know.
No, I mean, honestly, if we lose that game, the season outlook is bleak.
Yeah, yeah,
because
for
the
sure.
Texans are like awful. Like their roster. I mean, they literally like their best free agent. I don't know. This is for fact. This is for laughs. It's Chris Conley.
No, I mean, like, I'd say terrible. Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram was a better
Mark Ingram,
than Conley.
Like, he's like. I agree, because he was more successful, but he's a little older running back now, so we'll see.
Yeah, he's still better than Conley.
You're right. Cap was a reply guy on Twitter, even though I prefaced, like, this is for laughs, not for facts.
Well, whatever. I don't care.
Mark Ingram's got better hands than Chris Conley.
Listen, I'm scarred by the fact
that – he can probably run routes better.
Yeah, I'm scarred by the fact that a prior regime brought him in thinking that he would be a potential number one or two receiver. I'm scarred. I'm sorry.
Hey, isn't it nice, though, that this year we're talking about needing DJ Chark to stretch the field, where the past 2 years it was Chris Conley to stretch the field?
Wait, don't you guys remember? Don't you guys remember when he was named to the All-Pro team?
Yes, All-Pro Chris Conley.
He's going to have some – watch. He'll have two really good games this year.
Against us. Well, let's – hey, before we move on to anything else, any other takeaways from that game? I mean, not necessarily about the game, more so about specific players that maybe caught your eye or anything like that.
First, I want to say the Bulltake's living up to their name. This is some good commentary.
Thank you.
I just want to say it looks really hard to run block without using your hands.
Yeah. But at least that can be fixed.
Oh, yeah, I hope. Yeah.
Yeah, I hope.
I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm talking about. We can fix the hands. Like, I don't know. Like,
you know who said it could be fixed? The Jaguars coaches. They said it could be fixed. You believe them?
There you go.
Look, the dude's a specimen.
Right now, that's
he's a specimen. Yeah. You know, he's never faced pass rushers like he faced on Sunday, like, or on Monday night. Right. I mean, he played in the Pac-12
100%.
For like, you know, seven games or something, however
20
many
years
it was.
Ago or something. Like that.
You know, so I'll give it that. I wish we had a better offensive line coach that I had more faith in developing him. So there's that. But yeah. Oh, there I went. Perils are doing it on the phone, people. Perils are doing it on the phone. That's how fired up I am about the offensive line. Anybody specifically that stood out to you, kind of Dilla, or in a good way or a bad way?
Yeah, I think this like Rudy Ford experiment on defense has been really fun. It like made a huge impact play, but I think watching that, like having the dime guy be a corner who can fly around,
wasn't surprised.
It's exciting. You said you're not surprised.
I said pleasant surprise.
Pleasant surprise. I got you.
I didn't know who the fuck Rudy Ford was until this preseason.
Sally was like, real Jag, fake Jag.
Yeah.
Rudy Ford.
Dude wears a single digit and he's like making plays. So
I'm Ford.
No, I feel you.
Real Jag, fake Jag.
I think Smoot's been better than expected. I thought Smoot was going to be okay. Like, solid. He looks good. I think him and Jihad right there have been impressive. Like I said last week or whenever, if we can manufacture pressure with those two, we're gonna be a problem on defense more than I thought we would be. Also on the sack that Ward had, Caleb on Chase on spin move or whatever he did. No, he dipped around the edge. Was dope. You should go back and watch it. Like, type in Jihad Ward sack on Twitter
search,
and just watch Chase on. It's impressive, and that's like two moves, like two games in a row where he's had a move that I've been like, oh man, like that's good stuff. So that's really exciting. I'm not really too worried about the front seven on defense. They're going to stop the run. Linebackers against pass, we'll see what happens. Once we see who plays, you know, starting corner, I think we'll get more of an idea of how good they could be on defense, and hopefully Cisco plays next to Jenkins when it's all said and done before week one.
Yeah, I feel like Jenkins has been a really pleasant surprise, man. I mean, I knew they really liked him, I guess, when they signed him, right? They kind of prioritized him. I admittedly didn't know shit about him coming in, like didn't know a single thing. And I mean, he looks like one of the leaders and kind of tone setters out there of the defense right now. He's looked a hell of a lot better than Shaq Griffin did in the last game. As far as the guys they brought in, for me, it just keeps sticking out because of the really bad plays. But you know, Tyson Campbell is a dude that, talk about a guy who can run and cover and, you know, has pretty good footwork and, you know, all the really fluid hips, like all the things that you look for. But I don't know, man, I feel like the dude just needs to go shag some balls in the air. There's a,
like, until week one, sure, just do nothing but that until week one.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Did you see my tweet today, Cap?
I might not have.
Oh yeah. No, I said that I was like, they need to get Tyson Campbell over the baseball grounds with a glove and a jug machine.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to do. I mean, what is this? The Chase on move? Yeah, dip. Scoop! And then we, Ward cleans up. Run it back one more time. Six celebration, too. All right, here we go. And dips. And then boom.
They tried to chip him on the way out, and he kind of like ducked by that and then still kind of made like an under move. See?
Yeah, it was sick. He forced Winston back inside, and it got cleaned up. It's a good move, and if he can, you know, create pressure and make the quarterback uncomfortable, and they have to step up into Smoot and Ward. We're having some fun on defense, and we stopped the screen for like 4 yards.
If we could just get Josh Allen to come back.
That was Miles stopping that screen was a little dicey, though. If he doesn't make a great play getting off that block.
He gone.
It was like everybody's tweeting immediately, we stop the screen. And I'm sitting there like, oh, by the fucking skin of my teeth. Yeah.
Maybe he learned something new. I don't know.
Dude, I that guy looks like, man, he's if he stays healthy this year, he better make the Pro Bowl. Like, he's such a freaking stud.
Are you talking about Miles?
Dude. Yeah, Miles.
Dude,
he's
so good.
He's such a stud. he is an absolute stud, man. It's awesome, you know. And I mean, see a guy who got the contract and has been even better since he got it.
Slid to the second round because of his knee or whatever, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he might only be able to play 4 seasons.
Yeah.
Shout out.
In his fourth season, and he's falling out. Fifth season out now.
We were talking about how we would have been happy with him in the first that year.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Yeah. I remember that. Anybody else for y'all that that kind of stuck out, or
not really like stuck out in like a super impressive way, but the like fifth round draft pick tight end Colin Farrell catching a couple balls. I don't think O'Shaughnessy has a single catch, so to see like kind of a bigger play and then like a third down conversion from the rookie tight end, I think that's kind of cool. It's different, you know. Yeah. Especially while Josh Oliver is like tearing it up in Baltimore as we record.
I think that's one of the biggest head scratchers for me, because it's like, all right, you look at the roster, and I guess before the draft, right? So you got Marvin Jones, and even if you really, really like what you have in Chark and Visca, if you're a team that wants to be more dynamic, right? Because listen, speed is one thing. Speed kills, but you got to have speed, agility, and also the ability to fucking catch a ball, too. There's been plenty of really fast dudes in the NFL who aren't great route runners or who, can't catch a cold. So
we've had a lot of them here in Jacksonville.
So I think it's easier said than done to obviously to find like a Tyreek Hill or, you know, insert whatever really fast player you want. One area where they could have very easily become more dynamic than they were and than they are is tight end. And so, you know, I hate to sound like some of these cats that are all over the radio, you know, kind of bitching and whining a bit, you know, trade for Zach Ertz and you got to get somebody in here. But I mean, there were some fairly legit options available in that position for the team that, if I remember correctly, had the greatest amount of cap space. So, you know, I mean, take the Josh Oliver stuff. I mean, that's like LOL, funny, terrible, typical Jaguar type shit. Yeah, take that out of it. But I mean, hell, it would have been really nice to land one of the two guys maybe that the Patriots got.
Just one of them.
Yeah, just one of them. Just one of them. Because again, that's an area where you want to, you talk about, you want to play fast. You want to be fast. You want to be the fastest team on the field and all this shit. Well, you're not going to get all those guys in one offseason.
Right.
There were dudes that were available in this offseason that would have made you a hell of a lot more dynamic at one position. So I don't know. That's that. That'll forever be a head scratcher for me.
Yeah. Maybe like we can get the tight end from Oakland. I mean, whatever they're called, Las Vegas now. Maybe we can get him to walk out of a contract, pay him.
Waller?
Yeah. Transfer fee of like $55 million.
Transfer fee. No, we'll just get to we'll get Tony Khan at it right now. We'll get Tony.
Yeah, Tony. They have experience in transfers, dude. Like, why not
Tony,
be the first team to ever, maybe with that CM Punk, hit him with that CM Punk money.
Tony, yeah, Tony, seriously. Fucking dip into the transfer budget, will you, buddy? And get out there and go get Darren Waller. Could you imagine? No, I mean, I feel like the one team
that everybody should tweet at Tony Khan about that. Ask him to like set up a transfer fee for Darren Waller.
Love it. Love it. One last thing from the game that I just kind of stuck out to me because it was something that we talked about last week. But how about Colin Johnson running with the threes?
Shit, the fours.
Yeah, fours even. Yeah, at the end of the game.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing. It's like reality's kind of setting in that we're going to – I don't know. Like, see, this is where, like, it kind of sucks when I have opinions and I'm like, oh, yeah, we're going to cut him. And then everyone's like, oh, he said we're going to cut him. And I'm like, no, I have no idea. I'm just saying, like, that's what I think. Like, the way it's set up right now, it just doesn't feel like
– like they value him.
The roster, and there's no way if they cut him, he's not going to get claimed.
Are we going to cut the roster next week?
Yeah, it's by Tuesday, I believe.
Oh, boy.
By Tuesday. Oh, are we saying or is the team?
Yeah, no, are we?
I don't know. I mean, we can get into that if we really want to.
My only question about it, we don't have to talk about it at all. My only question is Tavon Austin a lock?
I give Tavon Austin a thumbs up. I think he's going to make the squad.
I think so too.
I got to wonder, is he any less dynamic than Jamal Agnew?
Like, right.
That dude is like.
No, I think Jamal Agnew is going to play too, but I think
they're both going to make it. Yeah.
Yeah, no, Agnew's definitely going to make it, but I think Agnew's just going to be the special teams guy.
But to overall, Cap's point, if one of them's making it, like, the other one should make it too, like, for what he adds.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think Tavon can, like, if he's just, like, your receiver 4 or 5, running back 3, whatever you want to classify him as, and he's just, like, you're just scheming him plays.
I hope that's what that 3-hour fucking offensive meeting was about. Was like, this guy could be a poor man's ETN, or what we wanted to do with ETN.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was just surprised when we signed him. When we signed him, I thought he was a for sure camp body. Like, oh, they're signing this dude who's been in the league forever. Like, crazy career. Didn't really live up to the hype. And then you like watch him play. Like, he, you know, 2 days after he signed, and he's like, well, he's like one of the better players like on the field.
He saved us from Tim Tebow trying to make the squad.
Honestly, Tavon Austin should go down in history for that. Tim Tebow will never have a receiving stat, offensive stat with the Jaguars because of Tavon Austin. And that is something that's really important for when we look at this back in 5 years. It is a complete joke still, and we can all laugh about it. And no one can ever hang that. Well, he did play for the Jaguars. He had one catch for 17 yards. Like,
guaranteed Tavon Austin's entire contract for this year based on that.
Jesus Christ. All right, question for you, because maybe I'm just trying to hold on to my boy for as long as possible, but like, could Colin Johnson, I don't think he could block as a tight end, but in this hybrid world that we live in big guys who can move, like, and we happen to be a team that doesn't have any great pass receiving threats at that position. To me, it's worth even keeping him as a project for that. I don't know. I mean, is it like,
I'll tell you this. I kept Tavon Austin and Colin Johnson on my 53. It's possible. Yeah,
probably. Go ahead.
No, I was just with him. There's no reason with the talent in the tight end room, like you said, that shouldn't be an option.
They had fucking Tim Tebow in the room a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I listen. Yeah, that's no, a fucking really solid. But
even
point.
On the even on the 53 though, like with whoever the like say if they carry four tight ends, three tight ends, whoever the last one is, you can't tell me he's gonna offer anything more at tight end than Colin Johnson would at tight end. I would call bullshit if you say that. There's no way. I don't believe it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know. I think it's that's the biggest head scratcher for me. I mean, hopefully he makes it. I am the most painful thing about that game wasn't the O-line play for me anyway. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the amazing passes that Jameis pulled out of his ass. it wasn't the final score. It wasn't the fact that Minshew looked like he was playing left-handed. It wasn't any of those things. The most frustrating part of that entire fucking game for me is watching Philip Dorsett running aimlessly.
So like, this is how I made room for Tavon Austin and Colin Johnson as I cut Philip Dorsett.
But there's no way, bro. They were running homie out with the starters in preseason game two. They're not cutting the dude.
If it's my team, he's cut. This is my team.
I don't know him, and by all accounts, he seems like a pretty nice dude. But I got to go back. I'm going to reiterate this just because I may do it on every single podcast for the rest of the season if he makes the team. But like, I don't know what the hell you're thinking when you got a dude. Like, what you're thinking you're able to get out of a guy who couldn't produce in way better offenses with, you know, all world quarterbacks.
He caught like two deep balls from Tom Brady, and that
has you're gonna bring the guy here and expect like the light bulb to go on. Like what are we even talking about? Yeah. I don't know.
Hey,
I don't
so hear it. Me out though.
No,
since like too late. Since like the first week of training camp, what has Laquon Treadwell done?
Nothing. Not a single thing.
So, if you compare like receiver body type and ability, do you think that they could cut Laquon Treadwell and keep Colin Johnson?
That's what I did. I did that too.
You cut him?
I cut Treadwell.
So when I said, it's interesting, I missed that one when you sent me that list. That was like kind of the first time I thought about that was today. Sorry. And I kind of thought like, yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like similar type of receiver. Both of them can go up and get it. But since they've started playing football, Laquon Treadwell has done nothing.
You want my receivers? On
a lot of those like highlights. Yeah, yeah, hit me with them.
DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, yep. Marvin Jones, Jamal Agnew, Colin Johnson, and Tavon Austin.
And that's a spicy bottom three. I bet only one of them makes the team, but I like yours better than what they'll do.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, I keep coming back to it. I think I tweeted this last week when I went on my little tirade about the whole Colin Johnson thing. Give me so specifically to what you just said, Dilla, Treadwell versus Johnson. Give me the guy who A has the bigger body, right? Mm-hmm. Who's a bigger target for my large, strong-armed rookie quarterback, right? Yeah. Give me that guy, and then also give me the guy who's unproven. Who maybe I don't know what his ceiling is yet.
Especially and in the reps he's got, and in his reps he's gotten, he's shown the ability to cash in on him.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to you know what you're getting from Laquon Treadwell and Philip Dorsett in these guys.
They've both been given every chance they could possibly want in the league.
So the interesting thing for me too, though, is okay. So you know, really, wide receivers 4, 5, 6. Definitely 5 and 6 have to contribute on special teams. So can Laquon Treadwell contribute on special teams?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, I don't recall him ever really being a special teams guy. At least not of note. I'll have to watch that a little bit I haven't paid attention to any special team snaps, like in the beginnings of games, who's on the, that's John Osier had a really, interesting point on one of the shows earlier, maybe it was earlier in the week or at the end of last week. He said, you want to know who's going to make the team? Watch the guys like in the second preseason game who are out there on kick coverage in the first and second quarter. Like,
yeah,
And I promptly did not do that at all.
Hell no.
but with that said, I mean, I hadn't really thought about it in that
but
context,
other people but... did, and they tweeted about it. So I know which ones that were out there.
Okay, good for you. That's more than I know. No, I don't know. So, obviously Agnew will contribute on special teams. I guess in theory, Philip Dorsett could. I don't, Colin Johnson, I don't know. But that's kind of another way to look at it too. That's why I don't think Treadwell makes it, because
I don't know what value he has.
Yeah, I don't know.
What about old Dewey? I think Dewey's going to get cut.
Yeah, he should. I mean, they got a plethora of safeties. Sorry, Dewey.
Yeah, it's just kind of –
you got to go.
I kept Dewey on my 53 only because of specials.
Who are your safeties?
I got 5 safeties. I don't know if that's bad. Is that bad? I really don't know. Defense? I don't know shit about defense, dude.
No, you're right. 4-5 is normal. Who are they?
Jenkins, Wingard, J-Dub, Rudy Wilson, and Cisco. I cut Josh Jones.
What? I
don't think they're going to either, but I did. I said that's my team.
Auburn too?
Huh?
Daniel Thomas?
Had to do that at Auburn?
Yeah, I cut him, yeah.
He's better than Dewey.
Just a 500.
Yeah. It's my team.
I like your team except for at safety.
Yeah, I don't know. I admittedly, I'll tell you up front, I don't know shit about defense, dude.
Yeah, I'm excited to see more of Cisco. I think he's
I didn't know how to cut the front 7 at all either. No clue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you guys want to get anything else specifically, or you want to get in the jag bag?
Can we just note that the QB competition is actually a QB competition for the backup job? Because old Beat Hard played better than Minshew 2 games in a row now?
Listen, as far as I'm concerned, the 2 QBs on this roster are White Jesus and CJ Bethard, because mm-hmm. – that's what Hottie says, and what Hottie says goes.
Is Hottie tweeting about CJ Beathard, or is he tweeting about CJ Henderson? Because I don't know.
Oh, he's
definitely
talking
not
about
CJ Henderson.
Definitely not.
Him fucking around. Someone DM'd me and was like, "Do you think this means that he doesn't like Trevor Lawrence?" And I was like, "No, clearly, one, he's trolling, and 2, he's just putting on for someone that he obviously likes and thinks should make the team. It's pretty obvious."
Bro, you're an NFL player and you're sitting on the sidelines for the second, third, fourth quarters, 2 games in a row, and you watch those 2 guys play the position of quarterback, aka QB, and you tell me that you wouldn't be sitting there espousing the value and the talents of CJ Beathard over Gardner Minshew.
I don't think it has anything to do with football. I think he's tweeting this stuff on Tuesday and Wednesday or whatever. I think it's all locker room. He's only talking to locker room.
No, I'm telling you right now, I think they Beathard goes in there and he's just a gamer.
Yeah,
he's terrible in fucking practice. And then he just goes and just throws dimes, looks confident, has an aura about him when he walks up to the line of scrimmage. And he's just a confident, quiet dude. And I think Hottie appreciates that.
I would say it's QB1 is White Jesus and QB2 is White Jesus 2, isn't he? Have you seen the pictures of him at Iowa?
Yeah,
he was rocking it.
He was, yeah, he's about the kind of, when I think Iowa quarterback, I think him. So, and then what was the other dude? What was the guy? Was it Ricky Falco or something Stanzi? They had back in the
day?
Ricky Stanzi. Yeah, Stanzi. Look at Solly with the big pull.
Yeah, the big college question. He's normally UCF national champions.
That's kind of like my era of when I still watched college football back then.
That was your era. Good.
Ricky Stanzi, that's a name, man.
All right, well, good. Well, before we get into the jag bag and stuff, good positive momentum on the trips. So that's a good thing. Hopefully,
that being said, you're gonna have to fly to Houston and buy your tickets at the door of each venue. So You guys,
why is that?
You guys are ready for that, right?
Because what are you talking about?
Because nothing's been put out. Like, you're gonna have to buy your tickets at the door, right?
No. So why are you coming on here trying to make life harder for me? Yeah. The price of your tickets just doubled. Just fucking
yours,
doubled.
You mean his.
That's what I mean. His. Yeah, I'm looking right at him. On my split screen. Anyway, so I think we finally, you know, knock on wood, I think we have we're really, really close to having everything finalized and solidified with this bar in Houston, which, by the way, if all goes as planned, it should, you know, even with all the chaos and shit, it should be a really fun trip. The bar that we are probably going to end up with is actually a Canadian hockey bar, but it's like family run and owned, and the people are cool as shit. They love out of town people because they're a Canadian hockey bar in Houston, Texas. And this gal is just like, hey, I want to make this special. Like, and don't worry, folks, this isn't just some random ass bar that I found. Like, I talked to the people, the boots on the ground in Houston, and they're like, yeah, it's a good spot. That's good people. That's, you know, that's a good venue. So anyway, but the gal is just like, yeah, I mean, I want to do the most badass breakfast buffet for you. Like, build your own breakfast tacos with brisket and steak and eggs and, you know, and all this shit. And then she's like, you know, we do this specialty like waffle bar. Do you think your people? I'm like, yeah, I think our people would like that.
I'll eat the fucking waffles, lady.
Yeah,
but Eric Dillard is coming on the trip. Yes.
And I'm just like, yeah. And she's like, well, I think I can do all this for X amount. And I'm like, okay.
are we getting like two free Molsons with that?
No, but so we're not going to do open bar because it's 2 hours, and I think just cost prohibitive, right? Like, I mean,
right.
For us to turn around and charge somebody $75,
I would have one drink.
Right. So for us to turn around and charge somebody $65, $75 for a bar gate, that's 2 hours, and that is from 9 to 11 a.m. I just was trying to stay away from that. So what we're doing actually is three drink tickets are built in. So three drink tickets and that breakfast buffet. So, you know, I figure in 2 hours, most people, 2-3 drinks, that's probably what they're hammering. If you want to open a tab after that, because you pounded your three drinks, you can do that. But private venue, just
you
for
fucking
us.
Fucking raging
morning.
Alcoholic.
Just yeah, I was going to say that. People will smash that number. Three?
Yeah. Yeah. But the three will be built in. So, you know, that'll be a good way. That
I'm
way,
far.
Everybody, even if you're there for an hour because you get up late, everybody can feel like they got their value. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, it makes sense to me. That's dope.
Yeah. So that's what we're thinking. So I've got game tickets in hand. There are 50 of them. And so people will see as well when we launch those, they're going to go quick and they're mostly in pairs. They're all the same section. We're in the end zone. They're actually really dope seats. So I'm sure we'll be on TV and whatnot. So I actually have the tickets in hand for both Cincy and Cincy's are good seats as well for Cincy and Houston. So that's a trip update. Hopefully if I can get everything finalized tomorrow, I can get Pat Drinks, our boy Pat Donnell, to build the website for the trips.
Whip it up on the webby.
Yeah.
I'll be changing diapers and build a fucking website.
I'm saying they'll be, hopefully they're up by the end of the week. All the Pat or it definitely Houston. So yeah, anyway, that's the update. Jag bag.
I do have to say before we get into the jag bag,
God damn it.
I can't fucking keep taking this blame on Twitter for the game going bad and the ETN injury. Okay. Just because I've seen this shit before and I can predict when it's coming. Like, it's the people who made the Katrina jokes fault that all this happened. Okay.
It's
I was
Katrina
just watching
jokes, Katrina jokes. And then Koki Cooney or whatever that guy's name was that the fucking Jags decided to like, oh, look, he's popular on TikTok. The kids will love that one. That'll
keep
go
TikTok
over
off my fucking Twitter feed. It has its own app for a reason.
Yeah, I don't like.
Except for the funny TikToks.
I mean, where were we going with that? Like, how many people do you think actually even recognize that guy? Dilla, have you ever seen that guy?
Not even one.
Yeah.
We're old as fuck, though. So.
I get that. We're washed, or at least I'm washed. You know, we're all getting older. And you know, I'm not the largest TikTok guy, But even that, even the way I said that sounded old as fuck, didn't it? I'm not the largest TikTok guy.
Dude, you have a gray ass beard and you're talking like that, bro. This is real life.
I'm not a big TikToker. you listen here. No, but like, I think the dude has 500,000 followers or whatever on TikTok is his profile.
I feel like your TikTok comes with 500,000 followers, doesn't it?
I don't know. You had to talk to Eric Dunn. But like, I'm sitting there, I'm doing the math in my head. I'm like, all right, how many people actually on Jaguars Twitter have TikTok or like are really active on it? One, two, if the dude only has 500,000 people in the entire world that follow him on TikTok, like how many people that like that saw that video are even going to understand it? Like it just, I don't know. It made no fucking sense to me.
2,500 people, Cap. That's it. 2,500.
And then I turned around and I was angry because that game was terrible. And I'm like, I couldn't take it out on Saints fans because we had jabronis on the timeline making Katrina jokes. So, you know, that's out the window. So all I had left was to just very harshly tweet at the official handle and at this Cokie Cooney guy, which by the way, that I guess that guy's shtick is like, he's real caffeinated, bro. That ain't caffeine, my guy.
He has the coffee just for show. He takes like one sip and that's all he's drinking.
No, unless my man's lining one line up and then a line of fucking coffee grinds up next to it. Maybe.
Cocaine Kyle.
Yeah, maybe my guy is like doing some real speed bombs.
What do you think's the higher number? Number of people who understood like that reference from the Jaguars handle, the TikTok guy? Or number of people who bought a Tim Tebow jersey? Which number you think is higher?
Tebow jersey.
Tim Tebow, the million.
Yeah, all day. I would love for, I didn't look, but I can't imagine they posted that video from the cokehead guy on Facebook, right? Because I feel like Facebook would go fucking nuts over that. Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't get on Facebook, but they like saw his like pictures of his kids. Like, he's my family. Oh,
here's how I do. Here's how I do Facebook. I go on there and I scroll my friends' stuff and just like as many of them as I can. I share my Instagram story to Facebook from Instagram without going into Facebook. That's all I do.
Nice.
I'm actually impressed, man. You're cross-platforming and everything. Look at you.
I figured that out this week. So like every picture I take of my kids, I'm crossing both of them. Boom.
Instead, I figured that out this week.
One post.
I had to bring it up here on the pod. I figured it out just this week.
I first thought I had to post it to my Facebook story first, but I figured out you can do it from Instagram, so I don't have to go to Facebook. Fuck Facebook.
You're blowing fucking minds right now, buddy.
Social media wizard.
Hey,
sound engineer of Bold Take Pod.
If you,
by the way, I need like 30 more followers for 2,500. Social media wizard. Come on, baby.
There you go. If you, but also go ahead and make sure you follow Solly if you don't already. At the same time, though, be sure to at him with your questions about how to be better on social media.
I got you. It's all free advice here.
All right, I think we got, do we have the first jag bag of the season? We had a few questions, right? A few queries came in.
We're going to get into the jag bag after these messages. This episode of The Bold Take is brought to you by Perfect Rack Billiards. Perfect Rack is a locally owned sports bar and grill located at 1186 Edgewood Ave South in Murray Hill. Features great food, a full bar, 14 TVs, 8 pool tables, and a punny name. Perfect Rack was voted best chicken wings and best bar food by Folio Weekly's Best of Jacks. They've got great specials during the week, including 60-cent wing Wednesdays, $2 select drafts Thursdays, and during football season, free shots for every Jags touchdown. That might get dangerous this year, folks. Throw them a follow on the Twitter machine at Perfect Rack Jacks. And next time you're looking for great wings, great drinks, and a game of billiards, head on over to Murray Hill, beautiful Murray Hill neighborhood. Now back to the Bold Take. Welcome to the first 2021 season. Jack bag. First question off the bat. So we wouldn't even have a jag bag because, to be honest, I kind of forgot about jag bag. And we tweeted that we were.
It's the preseason.
We're just getting back in the swing of it. So, listen, I think about a lot of shit all day. I got two kids. I got a fucking crazy job. Like, my brain is moving too much. Okay. We tweeted out that we were recording, and 904 Craft Beer Dad, big friend of the program, just replied with a jag bag unsolicited. So thanks to 904 Craft Beer Dad, we are actually having a jag bag today. Boom. Shout out to you.
This jag bag is brought to you by 904 Beer or Craft Beer Dad.
Exactly.
Boom.
Hashtag jag bag. What's the perfect analogy for being a Jags fan? I'll go first. Choosing to stub your big toe on a metal bed frame every morning for the rest of your life, then destroying people online for making fun of you for doing it.
Yeah.
Now, before you answer yours,
that's good.
Before you answer yours, there was actually a rebuttal to that.
Let me hear it.
Guars at Guars Jaw. This is a new account that I've never seen before. Says,
I think that's,
you know who it is?
Is that like, no, is that, I was going to say, is that like Jaguars backwards or something?
Kind of. Anyway,
yeah. That's what my guy's going for. I got it.
Guars Jaw.
Jaguars, just cut in half.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he went for. And he has a Trevor Lawrence Jesus picture. So,
okay. Guars Jaw.
Yeah. So he says, this tweet doesn't quite capture the excitement that comes before the gut-wrenching disappointment, to be honest.
God bless.
Life as a Jaguars fan is like expecting a Switch for Christmas and getting socks. The brief moment of hope before life donkey kicks you in the teeth.
That's pretty good. That's poetic. I like that.
Points were made. I think it was kind of rude to come at Craft Beer Dad like that, personally.
But. Oh, okay. All right. Little rivalry on the timeline. As far as an analogy, no, I think that's the unfortunate thing, though, really, is that it hurts. It hurts a lot being a Jaguar fan. So I don't know. I'd have to think on this one a little more than we're probably willing to. I could come up with something good, but I have to think on it a little bit more. I will say the important part of that, though, that I kind of took away from what Craft Beer Dad was saying is, and it's very true. It's like, you know, it's like your annoying kid brother that, like, only you can beat up and make fun of, right? And anybody, and that's kind of that is the thick skin, if you will, and a really important aspect of Jaguars fandom is like we can make fun of the Jaguars, but you can't.
Yeah.
Right.
If you make fun of the Jaguars, we will whoop your ass because the Jaguars are my dumb little brother.
Right. And along the lines of like, if you're gonna make fun of the Jaguars, you better be ready to be absolutely just inundated with witty and funny and creative shit talk.
And hopefully, in the future, not too much talking shit about natural disasters that killed like 1,800 people. Hopefully, you know, that's not my particular brand.
Some might say that would be a line that's probably not worth crossing. Yes. Some might say that.
Yeah.
All right. Next question.
This one was kind of interesting. This is from a guy, and I didn't get his at, but it's his handle is Trevor, or his display name is Trevor Lawrence Haver. Okay, so thank you, Trevor Lawrence Haver. But he says, hashtag jagbag, favorite 2023 practice facility names. What are we going to name the new practice facility that got approved by City Council this week?
The Bold Take Practice Facility, brought to you by Bold Take Pod.
I don't know. I feel like can't be like the house that Urban built, but it's got to be a little bit more subtle than that, right? So I saw some people on the timeline saying, you know, basically starting to refer to it as Urban something, right? Or Urban's something. I think it's got to be a little more subtle. So Urban, named after a Pope, right? So maybe we go something with like the Cowford Cathedral or
that's fire, dude. Yeah.
Something along those lines.
I don't hate it.
Yeah. There we go. What else we got?
We got at Cole Fartley. He says the Jacksonville Jaguars ranked 27th in points per drive last year, highlighting their inability to push the ball down the field on a consistent basis, as well as their abysmal red zone success rate. That being said, if Urban Meyer was a condiment, which one would he be?
I love Coleman. He's awesome.
That's fantastic. I thought you were I didn't read that one either, and I thought you were going to go into the Castellanos thing, like in a deep
and a deep drive to left field. That's good.
He was a condiment. Oh man. Well, it would have to be something that, I guess, in a lot of ways, when people think Urban, they think elite, right? Like elite coach. So. Mm-hmm. That's got to take all the terrible condiments out. So what's an elite condiment that maybe an elite condiment that you use sparingly, right? Cause like his tenure at places isn't very long.
Okay. I like where you're going. Keep going.
So I don't know. I need help with what that actually is.
Elite condiment that you don't use often.
He's like, it's like the Chipotle gourmets at Publix. I think it's really good, except that it makes me shit myself. So I don't get it that often.
Oh. Okay. I think you nailed the analogy.
And I kind of limit it to the Pepper House gourmets because it doesn't mess my stomach up. But if it's a Friday or a Saturday and I'm not doing nothing later, I'm going to go for the Chipotle one because if I got to sit on the toilet, like, who cares? It's cool.
That is the Pepper House gourmets is like
elite, bro.
But you're not using it. You're not using it every day. You're not using it every week, maybe.
But it's the Chipotle one for sure. That's herbs.
Okay. I mean, I'm not gonna go against that.
Yeah, that's a good. I think you guys really talked that out well.
It's a it's spicy. Herbs can be a little spicy. Yeah.
Also, it's not over the top. It's like Daryl Bevel running a preseason offense. It can be vanilla. It's kind of light.
I like how Cap was like the ball handler there, and he like brought the ball all the way up, and then he threw this nasty alley, and Dillard was like the perfect guy, like Dwight Howard, ready to boom.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. It's teamwork.
Boom. I've got one from Duval Doom, hashtag Jagbag. Does working out make you poop more? And the answer is yes, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
Yeah. I think your metabolism, right? Like is affected by when you work out.
Fucking 100%. It makes you poop more. Like that's a simple
one. Yeah. Your body creates more waste when you burn more.
You're working it down. Like that's part of the benefit. Yeah. It's part of the benefit.
Johnny, that's a little bit of a weird question, but I also kind of feel like that's a subtle flex because you've been working out so much lately that you were kind of like, that was your way of saying that you're more regular. And so, congratulations.
Personally, I'm here for it.
Yeah. Congratulations to you on both fronts, my friend. I mean, if you're Pelotoning is helping with your bowel movements, then, that's fantastic, bro. That's fantastic.
100%.
Yeah.
Next up is, so this is the same guy who got a question in earlier that I said his name was Trevor Lawrence Haver. His handle is at MARHSIM.
Marzim.
He got two questions in this jag bag because this one, he got two questions in this jag bag.
I was going to say, I thought that was very rare. So this one better be good.
It's fucking good, man. What do you think the first teammate to console Gardner after he lost the QB competition, and what did they say?
It was probably Logan Cook, and he told him, I'll let you drive the ATV next time.
I like it. Speaking of Logan Cook, he looked like he was punting from on top of an ATV in the last game.
He doesn't do preseason, bro. He's a gamer. Yeah. He's a real gamer. He'll be here week one.
That's true.
Both of our specialists on special teams look very special. which I'm sure had to have Herbs feeling really good about life in general.
The first person, we still don't notice him. That's a W.
I just want to know. I just want you to know that we are going to murder the field position battle week one. Put it down.
100%.
Okay. All right. All right. The first person to console him.
If you need time to think, if you need time to think, Cap, one came right to my head.
Go ahead. Go. Yeah. Go for it.
Got to be Dewey.
Okay.
You know Dewey went right over to him, gave him a hug, like held the back
of his
head.
That's a better answer than Logan Cook. I like
probably probably grabbed his ass a little bit and gave him like a little kiss on the cheek, you know?
Yeah. Well, do you think that any of them said, hey, Gardner, the good news is you can go shit now.
Yeah. Shout out to Gardner Minshew. I'm sure that he's just had a hellion come out of him.
And like Duval Doom just said, that must have been really tough because Gardner's been working out a lot. So I'm sure he's had to take a shit. Like, that's just, man,
excruciating.
That's dedication. And I feel like, you know, we've been a little hard on him, Gardner, that is. And we got to give credit where credit's due. That's an impressive feat, no matter. Yeah, we've been bet hard on him. All right, Sally, what else you got here?
Well, last but not least.
Okay.
We've got the patented, just an absolute Hall of Fame move here by Jimbo. He probably made, he was off Twitter for a little while because he got his third account nuked. And I feel like he made this Twitter account just so he could submit jag bags because he came in strong here. He wrote MFK to start. After that, he went with Shelley Meyer, Megan Schobert, and the voice's wife. And then he put a winky face of James Franco GIF underneath it. Strong.
All right, for me, I would marry Urban's wife because hopefully she's bringing half the paycheck. I would I did it backwards. I was going to rail out Urban's wife, and then I was gonna Schobert's wife is such a good, like, oh, that's my baby no matter what, even though he's a nothing player, I'm still gonna stand up for him and make TikToks and roast Dilla in my TikTok missions because I love him and I'm faithful to him. So that's who I'm marrying. And then
so you're gonna turn that around to where that's you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just making sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
That's amazing support.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm just trying to get what, you know, I'm trying to get the lies
like
here.
Yeah, you gotta think like crazy old lady.
I like where you went with that for sure. I wasn't even thinking about that specifically about old Megan Sherbert. Who is the third one, Sally?
The voice's wife.
Oh yeah, we can kill her. We'll kill her. We'll just eliminate. Yeah, that's easy. Jimbo made that too easy.
I was gonna say that we just didn't even need to mention the killing. Like, we could just do marry and fuck from now on and not even talk about killing.
So I'm gonna go,
that's what we ignore,
just for the sake of conversation. I'm gonna go with the F is gonna be Megan Sherwood. So she's going to be the F. Not that I'm particularly super attracted to her. She's not a bad looking gal. But I'm going to go there because she, everything Dilla just said may be true. And I have a hard time disagreeing with him on that. Like, I can follow the logic of, that's a ride or die chick.
You said, you're just doing this for conversations.
No. I mean, but I've got legit like points to make here. Go with me. So, but I don't know. So conversely, Shelley Meyer, ultimate ride or die chick. I'll get to that in a second. She's tested. She's tried, tested, and true.
Yeah.
Many different stops. Yeah. And the marriage journey and the marital journey and the professional journey with Herbs.
Been through some shit.
Always been there for him, right? She's fearless. She's fearless. She will go fire off some tweets and she doesn't give a fuck. Doesn't give a single fuck. She's fearless. She is like, here's the difference. Okay. I'm just gonna hit you with this, and this is why she's more marriage material. Shelley Meyer would take a body for Urban. She may already have. Yeah, right. Like, she would take a charge. She would take, she would absolutely take a body for Urban. I feel like push comes to shove, and Sherbert might be a little of talk. You know, she might be more bark than bite. Shelly, no.
And if your lady, wouldn't do it for you, you need a new lady.
That's right. The queen. I mean, think about the Ohio State cover-ups, the helping Herbs through, you know, all of his different health issues. And seem to have, you know, fully, again, we've got the benefit here of a longer relationship to draw from. But, I mean, seems like the children that her and Herbs had are well-adjusted, you know, well-functioning human beings. yeah. Shout out to Gigi. Successful. She's pretty cute. Wow. So all of those reasons, bro. I mean, Shelly is, she might be the ultimate wag, Dilla. Like,
they've been married longer than I've been alive.
Really?
Hey, I can't, like, you couldn't disagree with me or whatever you said. I agree. I think at the end of the day, they probably, like, when it comes to this category, they're probably two of the better options for the M and the F. Like, you can easily pick a side if you were given by the, like, you know, debate guy and said, all right, go debate it. You'd be like, all right, easy.
Yeah,
for sure. I just think at the end of the day, I don't, you know, what's Megan done? She's fired off some TikToks and some tweets and some Instagram comments, you know, but
she complained online.
We don't really know when the bullets start flying. Like, Shelly is a real G.
Sure.
For sure.
How many times do you think she went and picked, like, Aaron Hernandez up? Like, hey, he's down at the show. Will you go get him?
Yep. All day. Fucking, yep. She might have been at the tattoo parlor with Terrell Pryor. Like, she may have been up in there, like, negotiating the pricing.
Signing for him.
Yeah, she was probably like, look, no, you're not going to give him a discount. You're going to
give
him.
This is what he wants, okay? Listen, this is how he wants it done.
That's right. You're going to give him all the tattoos for free. Do you hear me? Not one, all the tattoos. If my guy right here wants a full sleeve, you're going to give him a full sleeve. And then you're going to ask him if you want
to. Have you seen Ozark on Netflix?
Yeah.
She kind of has the, like, vibes of the mom from that show, too.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. Great character. Kind of Midwestern as well. Yep. Good shit. That's good. Good fodder and good debate and conversation to end the podcast here, folks. We are on the precipice, if you will, of the regular season. The Jaguars of Jacksonville will play one more friendly match this weekend. And as we all prepare to head to, what is Houston known as? What is it? I don't even know. Do they have a nickname as a city? Somebody look that up. I don't know.
It's like the one I'm always told, like, if of all the cities in Texas, that's the one you want to get to least.
Yeah. Well, you know what,
though? H-Town? Is that their nickname?
H-Town? Yeah. H-Town. There you go. We're heading to H-Town. That's real creative. we're heading to H-Town. It's gonna be hot as balls. We're gonna have a good time. We're gonna drink some bevvies. We're gonna hang out with some friends. We're gonna represent. I think we're gonna have a lot of people rolling out there, so it'll be good. There's only one thing left to do, boys.
Love you, JB.
Congratulations on the new job.
Is there my guy?
Let's go.